Welcome to Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. You can follow us at Facebook at Freeform Network, on Twitter at FFR Podcast, and remember to send your questions, suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. What's going on, guys? This is Andy. We're going to bring you another out-of-world episode here. So we have Danny with us.
Yes, sir. The heat wave is finally over. A little cool weather hit the Chicagoland area. So, yeah, enjoying that.
We got our resident expert here, Noel.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Got my morning drink here, ready to go.
And we're back in Adam. You know, during this never-ending pandemic. But we're here, you know, what we do best during the pandemic. I've been living a hectic lifestyle, making life choices on what to watch. And recently I've been, YouTube is just, you go down that YouTube rabbit hole and you could get lost, man. I fucking started watching people who go pick up garbage, man. And it just, this shit's like intriguing me. And then what he does is he fucking picks it up and he sells it at the flea market.
Hey, what is it this that you're talking about?
It's a guy, so there's this community where people go pick up stuff. Well, I guess I should say it's a community on YouTube that there's already a community who goes picks up, you know, dumpster diving. And I fucking fell into this community on YouTube where it's immigrants, like mostly Spanish-speaking immigrants. But there's this one guy in California, his name is Solavino. And he goes around picking up garbage, and then he flips it, and he sells it at the flea markets in California, Southern California. And, man, this guy has got me fucking hooked because I don't want to say it's fake, but he finds a lot of shit. So I don't know, because he even talks about it in some of the episodes. He's like, they're all like about 20 minutes long. He fucking says, like, some of you guys think that I don't find, you know, they think it's staged because he finds, like, a lot of stuff, like portraits and tools and bicycles and shit for the swimming for the ocean, and, like, all sorts of stuff. And some people start calling it, like, bullshit. So it's pretty, he has me intrigued. He's a character, too, so he has his little catch sayings. And I don't know, me and the missus are kind of intrigued. I don't know, you guys have even watched that. You know, you see shows, people dumpster diving for like corporate places like GameStop, Walmart, all those strip malls. And then there's people, this guy goes to people's front yards where you wheel out your dumpster and he just goes, starts picking up stuff.
Well, what's the name of the channel?
Solavino.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know if you said that before.
All the headers say Lo que tiran in the USA. So if you search that, you'll see it, and like it's a shitload of people doing it, but he's like number one, and I don't know, it's pretty cool. I'm like really fucking hooked on it.
Yeah, I think to have a good YouTube channel, you have to be a personality. You really have to be out there, be kind of, you know, extraordinary, and be a really good talker so that you can get people entertained and want to stay on your video instead of clicking somewhere else.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So, like, and then, like, he shows you videos of him picking up the stuff. And then once in a while, he'll buy, like, liquidation pallets. And he goes to the flea market and sells it. And you see the stuff that he picked up, he's selling it at the flea market, which is, like, fucking hilarious. And people on the flea market, like, man, I saw you pick up this shit. Like, he's like, all right, give me $5. He's like, $5? He goes, yeah. Oh, okay. And this is all in Spanish. And this is learning, like, right now. Like, you know, let's say he posted the show. Maybe it's a week and a half old. So it's going on right now. And, like, he's shaking people's hands. And, like, in California, there's, like, people with face masks and some are not, and he's like shaking people's hands like very close. I was like, damn, man, like it's, they don't give a fuck.
And oh, like, so, this is so like these videos are more current now, it's not like older videos. Okay. No. I didn't know, you know, you watch, like, I've been watching Cops, and you know, you see the cops, no masks, no nothing. But then you're like, well, this is probably from 1990. So I didn't know if the videos were current.
So, yeah, he has, I back searched all his stuff. And so I went up almost all the way up to like last Christmas. And when the pandemic hit early on, when they were on shutdown out there, he like rented out a storage and he had all this crap that he picked up. He had it on there and he just put it in the storage and he was like, I can't sell it. So I have to go to I have to go to the flea market or I can't sell it until the flea market opens up. And then, so he had a way. He had like a storage full of shit, and it was like pretty intriguing. And then he shows he has the other episodes when he goes sells it, and just check it out. To me, it's intriguing because he's making what other one man's treasure or one man's trash is another man's treasure. Like this guy's making money off of shit that people throw out. So to me, I like that entrepreneurship and the hard work and like. Man, you know, it's America. You work your ass off, you're going to get paid. If you don't, you might get paid, but not as much.
Yeah, I've seen a few shows similar to that. Not necessarily dumpster diving, but like Storage Wars and Pawn Stars, and Hardcore Pawn. These people that, you know, will buy stuff from others and sell it either at a higher price or try to find some kind of treasure amongst the trash that people, you know, get rid of in their storage units. So I know the appeal, you know. Maybe I'll check out an episode and see if I like it. You never know, you know. It's a hidden gem sometimes. Dude, certain
he finds
episodes
like old Schwinn bicycles,
and, nice,
and like kids stuff and like lamps and tables. Like he picks up furniture. My wife's always like, "Why is he selling it so cheap?" I'm like, "Well, his margin is like 100%. It didn't cost him anything. It just costed him picking it up and putting it in the back of his truck." And, like, he picks up, like, books. Like, I never seen him sell books. I don't know if he's donating them. But he picks up everything. Like, everything, if it's not too beat up, he'll fucking take it. And he'll fucking sell it. Coolers, hammocks, like, every fucking thing that looks somewhat decent, he'll pick it up and throw it on the back of his truck.
You know, it's shocking. Like, because it works on two levels. He's working hard to get all this stuff going. His business, you could say. On another level, all these people throwing all this stuff away. Like, what does that say about American people nowadays?
Yeah, and people are like, yeah, take it. Here, I got more stuff. And then he goes into people's houses. Like, there's all this shit in the basement. And he's like, yeah, I free, I can have for free. Yeah, I'll help you take it out. And then it gets crazy, man. And like you said, it just shows to... I mean, it does make a comment about America, how we're like, we just throw away shit. We don't repair anything. As soon as something busts, we just throw it away because it's so cheap just to get it. Like, the cost to repair, I mean, it's going to cost you some labor. And, like, the parts probably generally cheap. It's just the labor. And it's just throwaway society, man. We just throw it away and get something else.
Yeah, I think that happens a lot, especially with some of the upper class. You tend to see better stuff thrown to the curb. And I know that's where a lot of the truckers that pick up garbage on garbage day, they usually, you know, drive around the better neighborhoods because they're going to be throwing away something nice, you know, a grill where, you know, maybe the igniter turned off and it's just replacing a battery or replacing the sparker on it. And then now this guy can flip it and turn it around and sell it to somebody else.
Yeah, and he's a good guy, man. He seems like a good guy. He's shown the videos where he helps homeless people. He buys, like, he gives them socks and, like, underwear and stuff, and he sets up a post. He just goes around handing off food and drinks. And him and his wife, I mean, they go to Mexico. They go in, to Tijuana, and they donate shit. So, I mean, that's why one of the things that kind of, like, I liked, he was very charitable and, you know, he helped out a lot of people, and then he's just making a side hustle and living the American dream.
No, so, that's good, man. Yeah. So, it's good to help out other people, man. I think it's good karma that comes back and hopefully gets repaid back to you someday.
Yeah. So while I'm watching the show, my wife, she's been working hard. I just want to say congratulations. She just finished her second master's. So, she's on her way to becoming like a administrative and like education. So that means you could be like a principal. Hopefully, nice. Maybe a superintendent, man. Maybe I think that's where the big bucks are in Illinois. But I'm here watching YouTube shows. She's actually doing studying and writing a shit ton of papers.
Yeah, why aren't you studying, man? Trying to educate yourself, man. Why is your wife the only one trying to better herself? Man, you know,
because I'm reading about about our article of the week, which we'll talk about later, and criticizing people on the internet and trolling them on Twitter and such. So I think that's where my life is going to, is hating on other people.
Damn.
You know, speaking of hating, Danny, I see you finished another game, I believe, going Fear City. Is that? And I see it's called, you got Fear City, New York versus the Mafia.
No, actually,
I'm guessing that's a game.
No, actually, that's a Netflix little mini TV show that Netflix put out. Just came out. It's just recent. I think it was this year. And it's concerning the New York City versus the Mafia. And the documentary is called Fear City. And it's, I think, 3 or 4 episodes or something along them lines. So it's a pretty short documentary. But really cool, man. Gets a lot of insight to the 5 crime families that used to have a grip. Grip on New York. Yeah, this is back in like the 1980s or something like that. Or does that sound right? 1980s.
Yeah,
right. But yeah, the big 5 families where they had a grip on everything that New York had to do. And if you needed anything done to build a building in downtown, you had to pay the Mafia. If you needed sanitation and whatnot, you had to pay the Mafia. To have a business to sell stuff, you had to pay the Mafia. So
concrete.
Yeah, especially the concrete. The documentary kind of dives into it towards the end. But that was like one of their big downfalls. As soon as they saw these big contract companies going to these same like 3 companies, they were like, what the hell's going on? And that's what got the cops kind of looking
involved,
at,
right?
Yeah, got them looking into it. And then that's where it really was the downfall, that, or at least in my opinion, that's really the first domino that flipped down and started taking them down.
Yeah, I remember seeing or reading something about when like the big garbage companies like National, they went into New York and they were like, how much you guys paying the month for garbage? Like something like the World Trade Center when it was around. And they're like, we pay this much. Well, we could beat it by like 40%. Nah, we're good. Who we're using? They're like, they couldn't understand what the fuck was going on. And then they started bitching. And that's how I really got the ball rolling for garbage anyway.
Right. No, it's really fascinating. I mean, I've seen movies like Gotti and a few other ones that kind of hint to the 5 families, but I never really knew much about it. Watching Gotti, it almost makes him seem like he is the biggest mobster that there is. You know, obviously once he toppled
the Travolta Gotti or the Armand Arsente from HBO Gotti.
Yeah, the HBO one is the one that I like, but yeah. Alana likes the Travolta one.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
I mean, it's a good movie.
It's awful, man.
No, it's good. I mean, the only thing that I kind of maybe knock it is that it leans a little more too much to the kid and not really the dad. But I think that's what is the appeal for that movie. It shows more of the family side of Gotti versus the HBO documentary or the HBO Gotti. That one is more gangster Goodfellas type movie. It's more dramatized, you know. So, yeah, apparently you haven't heard of this one, The Fear City, but you should check it out, Andy, especially if you like that. The Mafia stuff, it's really cool, man. Something to really check out if you're intrigued by the Mafia, the FBI. They have a lot of, like, FBI recordings. That's what I thought was kind of cool that I'd never seen before.
On Gotti, right?
Well, on a bunch of them. They started wiretapping because this was during the infancy of RICO. Mm-hmm. And the FBI using RICO to kind of incriminate some of the higher ups, you know, because they kept just taking the lower guys out, but the higher ones would never get touched because they were never in the crime. You know, they were never stealing this and they were never shaking down these businesses. So yeah, it's once they started the Rico and using the Rico, that's when it really started gaining speed. Yeah, so they started doing wiretaps on all of them. And I think the documentary shows all five families getting wiretapped and shows a bunch of videos of all of them. It's kind of cool how they show the agents trying to go and the whole process of wiretapping and how they would sneak into the restaurant that they put the wiretap or the guy's car and put a wiretap and then the guy's house and put the wiretap there. And it shows like this little, you know, like reenactment thing. And it's pretty cool. It's real entertaining to see, you know, dive inside the heads of some of these FBI agents as they were going to try to, you know, capture a lot of the mafia.
Yeah, I remember seeing documentaries where the feds were recording them like in 79 and 78. They had dates on the tapes. And even though they're in black and white, man, they were fucking clear, man. I'm not saying like they're HD, but for late 70s, early 80s, those tapes were like, you could see a lot of shit, and some of them were in black and white. And so, and I think after that, it's like you said, they started wiretapping more.
Yeah, in the HBO Gotti, they show the boss that Gotti takes out. I forget his name now.
Castellano.
Yes, I think that sounds right. I'm also watching Gotham and a bunch of other mobster stuff, and I'm getting kind of mixed up with all the names. But yeah, that sounds right. That sounds right. So yeah, they show him as like a fatter guy, like a big guy. Mm-hmm. But in the documentary, he's, you know, not thin, but he's on the thinner side, you know. So I'm kind of surprised on the actor that they picked to depict him. And then even on the John Travolta one, they pick like this really slender guy. And it was just like, man, these both of these movies went, you know, extreme one way or the other. But he was kind of more of a middle, like a middleweight kind of guy.
He wasn't thin. He was older. He was not thin.
Right. He wasn't like super heavyweight. Yeah. And he really was.
Hello?
Did we lose Dan?
Hello?
Hey, well, the mob just cut you off, Danny. guess not. Well, as you can hear, people, the mob silenced Danny. He was concerned about Paul Castellano's portrayal in these documentaries and movies. I know that he was murdered in Spark Steakhouse. I forget what year, though, but that was the Gotti and Sammy the Bull Gravano fucking hit. I think Sammy said it was a bigger operation than killing the president. I think I read saw in one of the movies. He was like, he was so fucking scared about. I think Danny's picture is still on our recorder here, people, but he's not talking.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know what happened. Just cut out of nowhere.
That's what you get when you talk submersive about the mob, Noel.
Right?
There you go.
They're running Comcast, and they probably just cut out the net.
They're gonna,
sorry, man. I'm back.
There you go. See, that's what happens when you talk ill of Paul Castellano.
Yeah, man. But nah, just to finish off the Fear City, cool documentary for you guys to go check out. It's a docu-series, you know, kind of. You know, they show a lot of dramatized scenes.
Reenactments,
yeah. So, yeah, really cool. Definitely a recommendation. What isn't a recommendation is that Deep Space, Andy, man, I gave it 3 episodes. I tried to watch Star Trek Deep Space Nine, and I gave it 3 episodes. The first one was a double episode, so I gave it.
Only came out Picard, man. He didn't give you the push you needed.
No. That was probably like best one, the first one. but then after that, I was just like, nah, man, I can't do this, man. This is too brutal. So then I just pivoted back over to Enterprise, even though I've seen it before. I was just like, I'd rather see something that I'm gonna enjoy.
Man, that show is awesome. I literally just finished the 7th season about a week and a half ago. I saw the last 4 episodes. I they reminded me how good that fucking four episodes are when the show ends.
Right. I did, before I gave it up, I did search the internet and checked like reviews, and everybody says the same thing, just like you did. It gets better, two, three seasons into the show.
Third season, they make a commitment to a storyline, and it's fucking awesome. And it takes them all the way to the end of the show.
Right. But damn, man, I checked the episodes and there's like 20 episodes every season.
TV.
Yeah. And I'm like, I got to watch 60 episodes before this thing gets good. And I'm just like, it's just too much, man. It's just too much.
Just start season three. You're not missing much. It's just character buildup.
I even thought about that. I'm like, maybe I watch a recap of season 1, 2, 3 and then just start season three kind of thing.
Which I think there are on YouTube. There's recaps.
Right.
What happens throughout the season.
But I was just like, this is too much, man. I just can't deal with it. So, yeah, switched over to Enterprise and enjoying that. I'm like halfway through season one. And, can't wait to get to the end. Too bad it's such a short show and it doesn't really last too long.
That's the one with Scott Bakula, right?
Yeah, with Quantum Leap.
Yeah, that was a good one, man. That was a good show.
He's a good captain, man. He brings a lot of personality to the captain chair. So, yeah, I definitely like that. But let's get your thoughts, Noel, on the Resident Evil games. Did you like those? How did you like it as much as Quantum Leap and Star Trek Enterprise?
Oh, dude, for sure. Resident Evil is up there in terms of like the horror genre of gaming. It's pretty much like iconic holder for what's good in horror and gaming. And since the beginning, back in the 90s, you know, playing PlayStation, I remember seeing as a kid Resident Evil 1. Remember the old style box that had like not the perfect square, but it was like a rectangle, like a vertical rectangle, the old PS1 boxes?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I remember Saul's friend brought it over, and I was like, oh, shit, this looks different. Like, what is this? Box is not the same. And he's like, yeah, it's Resident Evil. It's a scary game. And you guys wanted to kick me out of the room because it was scary. I was only like, I don't know, 4 years old, 5. But I was like, no, I want to see it. So you guys turn off the lights, and we're all watching everybody over the TV, our small little, 15, 20-inch TV. But it was amazing watching these games. And ever since then, I was hooked. Resident Evil 2 is probably the first one that I played myself in completion. That was on N64, the Nintendo. Ever since then, man, I've just been keeping up with it. And I've beaten 0 through 5. And I'm on Resident Evil 6 now, and I still have to beat 7 and 8. Well, 8's coming out, I would say 2021 is the rumor for PS5 and PC, I think, and Xbox, of course. So I'm going to be trying to catch up and beat number 6 and 7 before 8 comes out.
Yeah, number 6 is kind of brutal. I got like halfway through it. Probably not even halfway, probably more like a quarter way through it. But 7 is definitely something really cool, especially if you have a VR setup. 7 is really tripped out. I remember Efren came over to the house and we have PlayStation VR, and I had him try the demo for 7, and he totally flipped out. He was just like, I can't believe it. Because it shows some really like scary parts, kind of to get you hooked. And he was just like, wow, that looked real. So it was really cool.
Hell yeah, man. I don't have the VR, but I heard 7 is an awesome game. And yeah, you're right about Resident Evil 6, dude. I've been playing it for, I've got like 4 or 5 hours into it on the Leon chapter. It's the first section, I guess you could play.
That's a good one, Leon. The other ones are the ones that are kind of brutal. So,
oh, man, that's hard to hear, man, because I'm kind of bored with this one. And yeah, I like Leon, dude. He's a cool character. It's just, man, it's kind of boring right now.
Yeah, Leon in 6, he's more the traditional Resident Evil game style, and where the other characters are more action packed, except for the lady, I forgot her name.
Ada Wong?
Yeah, I think she's the one that's more like puzzles. So her sections are more just like you're just beating puzzles kind of thing. But the other two characters, I believe, if I remember right, the little bit that I played, it's more action, 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 and not really that horror sense like you're going through a mansion kind of thing.
Yeah, that's the vibe I'm getting. Because literally when it started out, I'm like just fighting endless zombies. And I'm like, this is kind of boring. Like, it gets repetitive. I'm just shooting zombies in the head repeatedly and then just running through and then shooting more zombies in the head. But it's not like a story that I followed through, like in Resident Evil 1, 2, or even 3, where you're finding puzzles, you're making your way through the city or through a building, but you have to follow a certain recipe to get there. You know, you have to solve puzzles, find items, and etc. This is more like I'm just killing zombies and trying to get through. And it's I've heard it's one of the longest games out of the series, and I'm just like, damn, dude, this sucks, man. I just want to get done with this, get on to 7, and then get ready for 8.
Right. How'd you like 5? Because it was the first game that had like two players kind of playing together.
Well, Resident Evil was the first one with two players, but...
The remake, you're saying, right?
The remake. Well, Resident Evil is his own prequel kind of thing. But it was the first one they had where you could do control two players. But Resident Evil 5, you can play co-op. And that was pretty cool. I ended up playing with that with Ismael, my cousin Ismael, probably like about 5 years ago or whenever it came out. But we never beat it. We got really close. And then recently I bought it on Steam for the PC. And so I was like playing through it. It's definitely more of an action game. You're just kind of just killing shit. You're not really trying to solve anything. There are a few puzzles, but they were so easy, dude. Oh, my God. I would never need to look at a strategy guide for this game. And, you know, honestly, that one is the one I give lower out of all the games. If I were to rate it, it'd be like a 6.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm looking forward to Resident Evil 8. It's going to come out in 2021, hopefully, or sooner. And that's what's going to happen with that. But another thing I've been doing recently is I got these MMA resistance bands for exercising and stuff like that, for cardio. And it's fucking brutal, bro. It's really hard to use, or really easy to use, but hard to be consistent with, because it's a lot of resistance that I'm not used to. It just really quick to kind of describe what it's like. It's this waistband belt that you put on, kind of like a power lifter belt, but okay. it has these like hooks on it, like clasps that you can connect these resistance bands that at the ends. So it's like a resistance band wrapped in a nice like a sheath cloth, right? So that way it's not like rubbing against your skin roughly.
Right.
And it's got on the ends like these metal clasps, like you know how rock climbers will use these like metal things to clip on and hold on.
Yeah, so like those quick connect things.
Exactly. So it's like that. They have one on each end. One end you connect to your belt and the other end you connect to either your wrist or your ankle. And so when you connect these to throw a punch, there's going to be a tremendous amount of resistance. To throw a kick, the same thing. So the goal is to be able to do like shadow boxing or you know, kind of MMA training, you know, kickboxing, whatever your preference is, whatever you're into. And it's just going to be adding resistance to it. And I got total of like 200 pounds resistance or close to. And man, bro, like the very first day I did it, the very next day, I should say, my tricep was bruised like deeply, like pretty bad. Because I just threw so many.
You ever work out with resistance, any type of resistance, like workouts with bands or anything? Because that, I did it for a little bit, and it's to me, it was rather difficult. I didn't like it at all. I know some people love it. I struggled with it.
I do prefer free weights. I have a cage that I bought. I spent like $2,000 on all this stuff. This was like 3 years ago, 4 years ago. But it's been worth it. It's definitely been worth it because it's pretty much offset the cost of a gym membership for all these years. And it's the steel cage with a Olympic level bar. And I got about a 300 pound weight set. So I actually got a lot stronger once I got this. I was lifting 170 on the bench, and now I'm at 260 on the bench.
Nice, nice. And yeah, I saw your workout setup, and it's really nice. You spent a lot of money on it. And yeah, I tried some resistance bands for a little while too, but I found them to be a little difficult just because the resistance is usually at the midpoint, and then as soon as you pivot your arm, it kind of like slingshots you back and helps you lift up the rest. So that was the only negative that I had for like a resistance band. Now yours sound a little more involved, and where the ones that I bought were just like shit that I got like at Five Below kind of thing.
Maybe that's how your wrist almost broke, Dan.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. The resistance, you have to use it in a certain way. And if you're not using it in the proper fashion, you're not going to get the most benefit out of it. I think the thing you're talking about when it slingshots you back, I don't know how you had it set up necessarily, but I know that some people will put the band underneath their foot, like in the middle of their foot, like maybe the ball of the foot, right?
Right.
And then you'll do, let's say, curls. So you'll grab each end of the band and you'll bring your band up, but you're not going to just let go and let your bands like slingshot your arms back down. You're going to control it and go slowly back down. And it might not seem that difficult in the very first time, but you do that 100, 200 times and you're going to be hurting. You're going to feel that. But if anything, resistance bands is more of a supplement to a workout, not the replacement. I know a lot of people do it as a main workout for those who have little time. You know, if you have only 15, 20 minutes to do something, it's better to do bands than do nothing. But I would say for most people who want to get healthy and fit, have that be a supplement to your workout and still do free weights, still do cardio, and combine all that together with a healthy diet, and you're going to see some really good changes.
No, yeah, I agree. I think it's something where, like, you don't have a chance to hit the gym or do something heavy, you know, get a couple of reps in of some resistance bands. But yeah, I agree. Maybe your other workout routines are your primary.
Yeah. But anyway, man, that's what's going on right now with in terms of the workouts, and just trying to see how it'll benefit me and all in the long run. So I'm just going to keep you guys updated once I start making that more of a regular thing. But anyway, leads to the article for today. So let's get it going, guys. So the Pentagon has stated that there are off-world vehicles not made on this earth. And we got this article from popularmechanics.com. Just kind of quickly to go through here. The government's once clandestine UFO program will reveal findings on unexplained materials and crashes. This article is written by Andrew Daniels. It came out just a little over a week ago, I believe. Actually, a week ago today. Wow. So the Pentagon on and off again. Once covert UFO program is decidedly back on and will soon reveal some of its findings to the public. Another thing that says is an astrophysicist who consulted on the UFO program confirms the government possesses materials from off-world vehicles not made on this earth. The news comes on the heels of the Navy's official release of three notorious UFO videos. Now, the fact that they're actually releasing these things, it's kind of shocking to me that it's coming at this time period, you know, with everything that's going on. It's like, man, is this something that is trying to they're trying to hide what's going on in the background by putting this out there? Or is it that are they planning to do a massive release of information to the public? Well, what do you guys think about all this?
Well, yeah, I think they're pigging back off Hello? The New York Times article. And so what happens is the main source on this is that astrophysicist. He came out and said he briefed the Pentagon on some of this stuff, and so this is what they're going off of. I mean, so the wording that they use is what kind of my conspiracy spider sense goes off. It goes, off-world vehicles not made on this earth. That's like the big quote, right? So what does that mean? I mean, because where the fuck was it made? Because are they time travelers? They're from another planet, another galaxy, all this other shit? Because there's all these theories on what people think UFOs, where they come from. You know, I know. Have you heard that? You ever heard that they're time travelers?
Well,
they're people from the future that came back. Like that's the Greys. They're actually humans that start evolution and they come back to. I don't want to say prevent it or some other shit, but that's like one theory that's out there.
Well, I know time travel, like there's all different manners of theories about it, but I've heard that. But from a basic standpoint, we time travel every day when we move forward, or it just movement in general. For Jesus. Example, if I were to travel from here to California on a plane, it would be a lot quicker than if I were to go on like a stagecoach or wagon, like the Oregon Trail. You know what I mean? So I'm time traveling in a sense, but probably not exactly what you mean, right? Like you're talking about like time traveling back in time when you already know the current timeline. Is that right?
Yeah, well, that's a whole nother can of worms. Is like you can only go back in time because you know it exists. The future isn't written, so how can you travel forward, right? So that to me kind of makes sense, but what the fuck do I know? But that's the only the wording that they use in Popular Mechanics, because that's like the big headline, off-world thing. So that could go into a lot of things. Maybe they're the fucking Nazis that left, and they had a secret space program during World War II. Maybe they're on the other side of the fucking moon. I mean, I don't fucking know. And then the article even talks about, you know, Marco Rubio, who heads this committee. He's like, well, we know that they're coming to military bases. He thinks they're either Russian or Chinese. I mean, I don't know. You think the Russians and the Chinese leaped us forward into this new fucking technology? I mean, who fucking knows? I think they're just fucking straight up aliens coming from Mars.
Like, if it was the government doing this stuff, like, let's say Russia, China, whatever, what does that say about our abilities as a nation? If we're spending so much, literally the most in all the world, all the governments, I don't know about combined, but out of all the governments, we spend the most on military and most on research and development. So what does that say if they're beating us in these things?
Well, space travel and development is different from the military. I mean, NASA's budget got cut big time. So that's why we needed to piggyback with other rockets to go and maintain our satellites that are in space and maintain the, you know, space stations in space. So, you know, if it wasn't for NASA being defunded so much, you know, maybe we would be at level. That is if China and other countries are more progressed than we are. But to be honest, I think even like the moon landing, I mean, I don't want to go to another subject, but a lot of people contest whether that was even actually real, and that the only reason that we put that face forward was so that we could seem more progressive than the Russians. But in actuality, we never really made it to the moon, or at least not in that Apollo trip. It wasn't until years later that we finally did make it to the moon.
Yeah, and think about that when that happened. That was over 50 years ago, and we haven't gone back since. And we've developed new stuff. It's just, they don't. I just don't think they want to publicize it as much as they used to, because the Cold War, and then I mean, I think we went there, and then somebody told us not to go back, and that's why they completely stopped going. And now you see their renewed focus the last decade on going to Mars. So, I mean, I believe they have some technology that we don't know about, because you telling me when they stop with the moon landings with that technology, we got more power in our phones that they had in the computers in those fucking rockets. So who knows what they came up with, you know?
Well, I think the big challenge of space travel now is not really can we do it, is how much does it cost to do it, and do we want to spend millions of dollars to just, you know, twirl around the Earth, and do they see the benefits in doing that? You know, let's spend, you know, $5 million to, you know, go around the Earth, see the same things that we saw already, know the same things that we know. It's like, let's think bigger and travel to Mars and do bigger things other than just go to the moon again, which we already did a few times. So maybe that's their thought, just because budgets are so much tighter and the wants of the not just the government, but society is not as great to expand ourselves and go study space as it was. So, you know, is it like, is that, can we justify that budget?
I think yes. I think it's essential to have a space program and to consistently put money into research on developing technology that could allow us to do a more advanced version of space exploration. The way I look at it, if you don't invest anything into it, you're never going to get anywhere. You're always going to be at step one or stage one. Imagine if we never made... And imagine if the Industrial Revolution didn't happen and the assembly line didn't happen and all we had was the original Model T that took forever to assemble, or even before the Model T, whatever the prototype was. Like, we would never have the cars we have now to be able to travel, and the infrastructure that we have to be able to, you know, get goods to places a lot quicker. We'd have to have, like, a butcher send you a pound of meat on a horse and hopefully it gets there before it spoils. You know what I mean? So if we never spent any money into research and development, we'd still be at that early stage. So we need to consistently keep up with all the other countries. So that way, or if anything, if you know, one day down the line, we all manage to kind of work together and come up with one united space program. Like, what is it? The United Federation of Planets or the Star Trek stuff?
Right.
Whatever it is. Starfleet, if we ended up making something like that and collectively contributing to this, then we'd definitely make progress and hopefully be able to have technology that allows us to get to Mars in a reasonable time frame, or get to these other galaxies in a reasonable time frame.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that the budget is justified just for the expansion of technology. But at the same time, it's a lot of money, man. It's a lot of money. And if people are looking to, you know, not to change the subject again, but defund the police because we're giving too much money there, let's give it somewhere else. Let's say, you know, we give, you know, $10 billion to NASA. I don't even know what the budget is. That might not even be enough. But let's say we give them like this extraordinary amount of money. Are people going to then start bitching and be like, hey, I can't even get, you know, help to pay my rent and I'm struggling over here, but we're sending people to go pick up rocks in the moon? It's just like, hey, come on, man, I'm starving over here. So it's where is society at to want that, to want to develop in that manner?
I'd probably tell them, get to work.
Right.
Why are you putting out your hand for a free meal when, you know, you could work for it and make your own meal?
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that it's a tough pill to swallow for some people that will say, you know, what do we got to explore in space? Let's help the people here first before we do something else.
So, yeah, let's bring it back a little bit. So real quick, do you believe there's aliens or there's people on other, or some type of beings on other planets, Danny?
Not sure, man. The Bible says that God created man and then created everything else. So he doesn't specify what everything else is, and I'm paraphrasing. I'm sure God didn't say just everything else, but I mean, it could be anything. It
could really be Danny's on the camp that they're demons or something. I've read that in that theory too.
Well, it could be anything. I mean, it could be just aliens. He did create man, plants, creatures, and then he created other planets that have other creatures on that planet. So it's possible that it does exist. It's unknown, but just because it's unknown doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Well, I didn't know if that's a yes or no. So, Noel, do you have a yes or no, or you have a long explanation too?
I'm in the middle of that. So,
oh my God.
I do believe there are extraworldly beings of some kind, whether it be a microorganism or whether it be some huge.
I'm talking about someone that has thought, not like an animal, someone who could communicate in some form, like
another humanoid.
A humanoid type of being out there.
After watching enough History Channel and the universe, there is without a shadow of a doubt that this universe is so big, there must be. Mathematically, it's illogical to think that there's nothing else.
Yes,
it's just
I believe there's other beings that are out there. If they have good intentions or bad, who fucking knows? Probably bad, because going off of human history, when we went to other countries that we didn't know about, what we do, we'd fucking conquer them and pillage and rebuild the shit. So. It's probably not going to be a good thing if other beings come to this planet. Hopefully they're so fucking evolved, they just look at us and go, they're just a bunch of dumb animals, leave them alone.
See, I kind of disagree with that theory that people think that all aliens are probably going to be bad, or at least they assume they're going to be bad, because the thing is, we're not all evil. Yeah, maybe there were people that went to other countries and the generals or the military leaders are like, fuck these guys, destroy them, whatever. That doesn't mean everybody was like, yeah, fuck these people. I'm sure a lot of people were like farmers and just people that were good intentions. They're like, damn, it sucks. But well, what can I do? I mean, these guys are going to do it unless I stand up and revolt. So I assume that I try to give people the benefit of the doubt is what I'm trying to say, is that there has to be some good aliens out there if there's going to be some bad ones. So I don't assume that they're automatically bad just because they're not from here.
Right. I agree with that, but I mean, I don't want to speak for Andy, but I think what Andy's kind of mentioning is the same way we see ants on the floor, we don't consciously think about, hey, is there an ant where I'm stepping? It's such a lower life in our perspective that we just walk freely when we're walking outside, where we're probably killing like 10 to 100 ants, a day as we're walking, outside. And we just don't think about it. Is that the way aliens are going to think about us? Are they going to think of us so insignificant that they're just going to, just blow us away?
Well, then I'll challenge you with that as well. So let's say we evolve to the level of those supposed aliens, wherever they are, we evolve to that level. We know where we are right now, and we know what our history is as well. Would we... at this current level, if we went back in time to like Roman times or Greek times, would we treat them like ants, or would we treat them like people? We're just more evolved people now. We have technology. Or if we evolve to their level, are we going to look to our past selves where we are now with this 5G and all this other shit capabilities? Are we going to look at us like that? And I don't think so. I think humans in general have a unique way of being. And I can't say how the aliens are going to interpret that, how they're going to look at us. But I think that they can. Any intelligent being can look at us and say, hey, these people have potential if they're guided correctly. And because, I mean, that's just the truth of it. If we're guided correctly, we've seen humans be able to do amazing things.
Right. No, agreed.
So. Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's just trying to bring it back. So the article also states, the government is spending money trying to research what these things are. It's been going on slowly. Stuff has been breaking over the last 5-6 years with Tom DeLonge and reaching to the stars thing and research that, but. Bringing it back, do you think the government, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're holding shit that we don't know about. I believe they have, I don't know if you ever heard of the secret space program. They have fucking ships that we don't know about. I mean, they have technology that we don't know about. But I used to believe that there was going to be a government disclosure about aliens going back as early as when Obama was president. So what, like 2008? There was this big thing on the internet stirring that Obama was going to announce that they've had communications with aliens around Thanksgiving, like 12 years ago, and nothing really came of it. It was like swirling for like a month. people were breaking stuff on the internet, these supposed whistleblowers, and nothing came of it, and everything just kind of fell to the wayside. And then again, now with Trump, you saw these official releases of these classified videos the last couple of years. Then now they included the Space Force thing that looks kind of like a Star Trek logo. I don't know if you saw that last week, right? Right. Did you see that, Danny? Yeah, it was fucking weird. And I'm just like, well, something's going on. They're preparing us for something. I don't know if it's like maybe this Federation or like fucking, are they going to enter? I'm waiting for Trump to have a press conference and roll out a fucking alien and go, this is fucking Herbie. He's from the Zeta Reticula. Oh, and by the way, he has a vaccine to COVID or some shit, and we're fucking part of this thing now. They're going to give us warp drive. I bought it for him. I negotiated it with them. We got this warp drive coming. You know, some stupid shit like that.
Do we got to pay tariffs on it?
That'd be awesome if he did, and he goes, yeah, and then Herbie goes, I got this shit made in China. So I don't think the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, is ever going to come out in my lifetime and go, yeah, we've been in communication with aliens, or we got these spaceships that we fucking found all across the United States. I remember reading seeing a documentary where they've gone into Mexico to retrieve crash ships, the United States. Like, it's fucking crazy. You know, so I don't, do you guys think that would day will come where the fucking government or the president's gonna announce, like, yeah, we've got all this shit, like, we've been in communications with aliens, and like, here, they do exist. Like, what's next? I feel like a bunch of lawsuits are gonna come. Man, you guys let these aliens come and butt rape me and shit. What the fuck?
I think there will come a day where the government will make an announcement about it, but it'll be a reaction to some kind of hard evidence that nobody could rebuke. And then they're going to have to come out and be like, okay, there is aliens. This is what we know. Everybody calm down. Don't go out there and start rioting.
Yeah, it's a curious thing, because when we talk about aliens, we keep mentioning the United States government, but there are multiple governments and none of them have really come out with anything either. So is it that they're all working together to keep this a secret, or are the aliens only communicating with certain governments? There, it leaves a lot to the imagination.
Well, I know the French, they released all their, what the fuck do I know? But there was this big thing about a decade ago that they released all their supposed classified information that they had on UFOs from their military. I think Brazil is another one. And I think there was another European country, I want to say like Belgium or something, they released some stuff that they had too. And I mean, again, but it's, what do you know? I mean, we all known that the United States, you know, when after World War II, they, you know, they've kind of took a notice on this. They took a charge and a lead. And speaking for the United States here, I think, you know, that's what we want to see, that somebody from the government, especially, we're hoping the president would come and say, like, this shit's real. We've known about it. And, you know, what are we going to do? Like, I don't think society is going to break down. This isn't the 50s. The 50s and 60s where we are now is completely different. That we've had a big change in society where we're more evolved. People are smarter. Some people might say that we're dumber, but, you know, we kind of evolved and we know more than we did even 40 years ago.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's tough to imagine how society would react to all of that. I mean, you would think everybody would be welcoming to it, but I know fear is a big proponent of it, and the unknown is a big proponent of this. So my gut reaction is that people would flip out with the unknown, and what are they here for? Are they better than us? And then the same thing with the government. Are they going to overreact and overstep themselves to want to automatically tense up and be defensive and kind of provoke, you know, any kind of alternate lives, you know, that are out in space?
I remember seeing a documentary 15 years ago from National Geographic Channel saying, what would we do if aliens attack? Like, how would we defend ourselves? Like, and they came out with some weird shit. Like, we have other weapons. They had people from the government like, hey, we have other stuff besides nuclear weapons, you know? Like,
got that Star Wars laser, man.
Yeah, they got, like, they're talking about, like, sonic, like, boom shit and, like, these big bullets and, like...
That's legit, dude. Sonic weapons are fucking legit. I didn't know about this, but until recently, that sound waves can kill people,
yes,
like at a high enough frequency. It's freaking crazy, dude.
Yeah, this thing I saw from National, it's like 15 years ago, dude, and they were talking about stuff like that like 15 years ago. I mean, like, they're like, we got lasers and, like, we got stuff. I mean, depending when we first kind of analyze what we got, but we got stuff that we're not really, it's not really disclosed, but we have a bunch of stuff like sonic weapons and, like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, holy shit. And then he even talked about, like, viruses too, like at some last resort thing, like they got to see their beings or their suits. They're like, they're willing to release some fucking virus that they're, their immune system wouldn't be able to handle, which is weird. Like, what would you know about their immune system if these things don't? But they, I always want to hope that they're prepared, but who fucking knows? I mean, I used to think the government was prepared for everything, and then the last couple of years, you see how they're handling shit is, I don't think they're really that prepared.
Yeah, how do you even know this sonic stuff would even work?
But that's what they're saying. It goes, we would have to analyze, but we have weapons that they tested on their own shit. It's been effective, but how do you know something that's off world, you know?
Well, just I think in general, just physics, the way it works, it would work on any living matter, I think. So I think where I heard it from originally was a volcano erupted and there were people that lived nearby it, and people that lived like hundreds of miles away, and the people that lived nearby it died. The people that lived 100 miles away were very severely injured, and their eardrums completely exploded and shattered and, like, beyond repair. Because just from sound, from the explosion, the sound wave and the sonic boom of the explosion of the volcano. So, you know, taking that concept of the way physics works and the way all that was done, now you just got to apply it in a military aspect to where you can create this sonic force and just direct it and control it.
Yeah, it's just weird because, you know, like you said, you know, physics, but we understand, like, carbon-based life forms kind of physics. How is it going to be for aliens? Are they even carbon-based? Are the ants looking at us, you know, on the floor and be like, don't worry about this, kids. We got sticks. We got dirt. If these humans come walking by, we're going to fuck them up. And then you go walking by and we just squish them up and they're just like, holy shit, we weren't ready for this. You know, what's gonna happen?
Well, even like I said, I've the grays, you know, your typical gray with the big eyes. There's even people say that those things are fucking robots, that they're not really beings, that those are like the things the aliens, the real people in charge, send out to monitor because they can't, because they don't know the environment. Yeah, Anunnakis and shit. They fucked a monkey or something, and that's how we came about, you know, because we skipped the evolution. You ever read that there's a thing they can't explain? So somebody said an alien came down and fucked a monkey or something.
I don't know. Ever like, since I heard about the Bilderberg group, I was like, man, if the government's involved with aliens and they're worshiping them in some kind of way, and if they have some kind of secret agenda going on, then I don't know what's going to happen to all of us. But we just got to stay sharp and be aware and try to make the right decisions.
That's why, Danny, that's why we got to spend money, man, to get the fuck out of here. We go to Mars and see that three-titty woman.
I agree. We do need to spend money on technology. But I mean, if that's what you're into, I mean, whatever, you know, whatever floats your boat. But at the same time, is the next evolution, like we've spoken before, where we have implants that help us think faster, that help us create technology faster. You know, I know Noel's spoken about it before too.
Neuralink?
Right. Is that like the next step that's going to give us like that boost, like you were mentioning, Andy, where the government took like this big step in technology that maybe we haven't seen that big leap since then.
I mean, well, the internet was created by like the army. They've and like through like colleges, right? They had that shit since like the 70s, you know, and they didn't unload it to what, the 90s, to the general public.
The internet or Netscape?
No, internet way. Netscape, oh, okay. I don't know about that shit. I don't even think that's around no more.
Right.
If you watch Space Odyssey, the movie, they have LCD screens, and this is back in the 60s.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I read they have shit that, yeah, I've heard about the cameras they used to record the moon landing, whatever you think of it. It was like some special camera that nobody says that existed, but yet they had it before the movies, the Hollywood started using them. And they're like, oh, we got this from like fucking NASA. And it was just like, what the fuck? Like, they have shit that I mean, we don't know about. And to this day, who knows? We get the scraps when they're done with it because they got something better.
Yeah, me and Junior were actually yesterday, we were just watching a show about the moon landing. So they show Neil Armstrong and all this other stuff. And Junior was memorized. He was just like, holy shit, I can't believe the shit that they're doing. And I almost wanted to tell him, like, hey, buddy, do you know that some people think that we didn't really actually go to the moon? But I'm like, should I burst his bubble? Or should I let him have that amazement as to what is possible when humans get together and kind of figure shit out?
I would don't. Next, you're gonna tell me there's people who think the Earth is flat, man.
I mean, because I already told him Santa don't exist. So what the hell? Why not?
He cold as ice, bro.
How did he take it when you told him
that Santa didn't exist?
Yeah.
He kind of already knew, because I think kids in his age group had already for a long while thought that, but we had just kept pushing them that no, those, your friends are liars. It's like they're doing crack and they're addicted to drugs. Don't worry about them.
Bunch of losers. Don't listen to them.
Right, but I don't know. Let us know if we should burst Junior's bubble. But that's about all the time we have for today. We'd like to thank you all for listening. Remember, follow Freeform Network on Facebook at Twitter at Freeform Network. Send in those questions, ffnquestions@gmail.com. Visit our webpage at freeformnetwork.podbean.com. There you're going to see all of our links. We're always expanding and trying to get to new spots. So hit that like button and whatever subscriber you're subscribing and whatever device you're using. I really appreciate it. Help our numbers out. But for my two hosts, you got Andy.
Yeah, man, it's all good. And if you any whistleblowers out there want to send us your insider tips or info at ffnquestions@gmail.com, please do. We want to be in the know and let us know what's going on. Please let us know what's going on.
And Noel?
Hey, thank everybody for listening. I hope you're all doing good.
Yes, sir. And I'm Daniel. Hope everybody's doing great. Enjoy your day, and we will catch you next time.
Dad.